Welcome to Generations Friends. This is Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director of Christian Home Educators, but also a pastor and a father, and I'm raising my children, hopefully with a vision for something different from what we have experienced in our own generation, in a world that, for the most part, has denied a biblical worldview. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we homeschool our children out here in the plains of Colorado, and the vision that has been espoused by this homeschool revolution in America is really moving ahead. Some great things happening with homeschoolers. And by the way, some 2.4 million kids being homeschooled across America, we will see significant social and academic changes made in the way that we live, the way we do education in the future of this country. And one of the areas where I think we're going to see some significant changes is in the area of education and mentorship. That's the next frontier. In fact, the HSLDA, Homeschool Legal Defense Association Court Report, came out with a full edition dedicated to mentorship and an apprenticeship, as did Homeschooling Today magazine back in July and August, an edition also there dedicated to the topic of mentorship. Now, we've been talking about mentorship a little bit here on this program. We're not talking about a part-time job, and we're not talking about the cooperative education programs that our colleges were doing back in the 1980s and 1990s, and I think they're still doing them. But co-op ed programs were so shallow. They involved a couple of 3 months, and you sat down in front of some books, in front of a machine, and some supervisor came in and said, here, push this button, here's how to fill out a time card, and I'll see you in 3 months on your exit interview. This is not mentorship. Co-op ed is not mentorship. We're talking about a significant revolution in the way that we introduce young folks to careers. Now, I went to one of the best engineering schools in California, and their whole thing was learn by doing. And you know, I had a bunch of co-op ed programs, and I probably had 3 or 4 of those things I went through within the 4 to 5 years I was working my way through engineering school. But for the most part, it did not do me that much good. There is so much of a disconnect between universities and the work world that by the time I graduated from college and I had my first genuine engineering job, I did not have a concept how to be an engineer and how to take a product and work a design from the early developmental stages all the way into the production stages. I didn't understand any of this. In fact, I wasn't a very good engineer. I made a lot of huge mistakes for the first 4 to 5 years of my engineering career because I did not have good training, good mentorship that launched me into my career. Well, that's not the way it's going to be for my son. I want to look out for good mentorship opportunities for my son, which means that if he majors in law, he's going to be, through his undergraduate years and through his law school years for those 6-7 years, he's going to be working with a Christian attorney that will take him under his wing and show him the ropes. So he'll be mentored in the morning and taking classes in the afternoon. He'll learn how to apply the things he has learned in the afternoon in the morning sessions with that lawyer. In the first year, he may be emptying wastebaskets. Second year, helping with law briefs. Third year, he's in court side by side with that attorney every time that guy's in court. So by the time my son has graduated from university and from law school, he will know how to be an attorney. He will have learned the ropes. He'll be off the runway running 400 or 500 miles an hour in the air by the time he has graduated from law school. And that opposed to the current system of just this form of sterilized education where people sit on the island of education and learn a lot of theoretics for 4, 5, 6 years in a row. But by the time they've graduated, they're just still sort of wandering around the runway trying to find where that runway is in life. And they do not have a concept how to apply what they learn in law school and undergraduate studies in real life. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have had an apprentice. I've had an assistant working with me for the last 2 years, going on 3 years, and we've learned some things. I realize there's a range in mentorships. Obviously, not everybody's going to have a 7/24 mentorship where he is living with his mentor. He is in the office with that mentor every single day. He is traveling with that mentor. But mentorship is something more than just a part-time job. It's got to be a man who is interested in the character of that mentee, of that apprentice. detritus. He's got to be focused on that guy. He's got to be showing the young person how to take the big picture and tie it into all the pieces. See, any business or ministry has overarching goals and objectives, and that young person has to see how all of the pieces tie into the objective. You don't get that in the university system. You're going to get that in apprenticeship. For example, businesses usually include a lot of aspects like purchasing and marketing, design, manufacture, service, and management, all these sorts of things. And the apprentice will learn by real-life experience, see, how these multiple aspects interface and interrelate, something that simply cannot happen in a university classroom where all the subject areas are divided into a separate classroom. Now, what is taught in the mentorship is far more than what is conveyed in direct verbal communication. See, the apprentice is going to learn the way the master craftsman does his work. He's going to learn how to emulate those methods. And whether the master is framing houses for a living or designing circuit boards for customers or writing letters to supporters in a ministry or filling cavities as a dentist would, that apprentice is picking up on how the master does the work, how the master stands up in the courtroom and defends his client, how that guy, that doctor is working with those patients from the time that patient walks into that examination room to the point where that patient has left the hospital. He sees how the mentor talks to the customer, how he troubleshoots problems, how he answers detractors, how he inspects his own work, how he corrects his own work, how he sells his own work, etc. These are the sorts of things that cannot happen in a university classroom. Mentorship is focused on character. And mentorship, therefore, is interested in wading in on that person. And by the way, I don't think we, myself and Chad, my assistant, my apprentice, really understood the idea of good, solid mentorship until about the second year when we began to understand each other a lot better and we were able to spend a little bit more time. And he begins to understand my thought patterns, and he understands the structure of the things that I'm teaching him. And now when I teach him something else, he just pulls that into everything else I have taught him in the past. And just because I've known him as well as I have, I can focus a little bit more on his character in the second and third year of the mentorship. And folks, I'm just going to say it. I don't think a mentorship should ever last less than 1 year in length. It ought to be at least 2 to 3 years in every single case. Well, in just a moment, we're going to talk a little bit more about mentorship and apprenticeship. And I want to interview the guy who wrote the article for the HSLDA court report called Apprenticeship in the 21st Century. Michael Donnelly is next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
With literacy rates falling and American schools approaching third world nation status in math and science, parents everywhere are concerned, and they're getting involved. That's why tens of thousands of families across the state of Colorado have turned to home education. For over 20 years, Christian Home Educators of Colorado has hosted an annual conference designed to encourage and inspire families anywhere along the path, from beginners to veteran homeschoolers. Throughout the year, they offer special introductory seminars, retreats, graduations, a news magazine, and a satellite school to aid in the required record keeping. CHECK also offers a bookstore complete with the best resources, tapes, and curriculum, all of which has been carefully chosen to equip and supplement your homeschool program. To learn more about CHECK, visit their website at chec.org.
Welcome back to Generations, friends. This is Kevin Swanson. Today we're talking about an exciting topic. We're looking at the future of academics moving more in the direction of mentorship. Could this be on the horizon for many, many folks, including home educators? And with me is Michael Donnelly on the phone lines. He's author of an excellent article that just came out on the HSLDA court report on mentorship and entrepreneurship and apprenticeship. And Michael is a staff attorney for Homeschool Legal Defense Association. Welcome to Generations, my friend.
Good to be here, Kevin. Thank you so much.
Hey, you've got an excellent article. I mean, this just came out last week, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. You talked a little bit about a history of apprenticeship. Obviously, apprenticeship is not new to the world. It's been around for a long time. Why don't you talk just a little bit to the history of this thing and why you think it's coming back?
Well, I mean, apprenticeships have been around probably for thousands of years. It was the way people learned a skill. When you look back even in the Bible and how skills were passed on to the generations. I think, you know, when you look back in the recent history, the last few hundred years, you notice that the Industrial Revolution created a little bit of a change in the way we do business in the world. And kind of people began to take a more of a factory approach to things, and skilled labor was less important in a factory. Okay, and so it didn't matter what set of hands you had, you just needed a set of hands. And so all the things that went along with apprenticeship, which was all the skill that was taught to someone, the skilled labor that was required, whether it was a silversmith or a blacksmith or a doctor, that stuff kind of went out of the way for a lot of professions that up until that point had required that kind of hands-on learning. And you just had somebody go into a factory and you just push a button or, you know, hit a particular lever, and that was all you needed to do. And that kind of broke down the apprenticeship model. And I think today, as the factory industrialization model has sort of run its course, we're coming back to realizing that we need to have another way of developing people into things. And in our own country, we're seeing that we've kind of come out of the industrial age, moving more into the information age. And with more information being around, there's a whole lot more opportunities for our young people to pursue lots and lots of different career opportunities. And with all that information and learning, they can get that information earlier. They don't necessarily have to go to college, or they can go to college. There's all kinds of different ways that they can get their hands on that information. So I think that's why you're seeing apprenticeship coming back a little bit more today.
Now, you've had a number of anecdotes on mentorship happening right now in the homeschool movement. It's apparently really taking off. Why do you think that is? Why are homeschoolers really drawn to mentorship?
Well, I think homeschooling as a lifestyle is a mentoring kind of relationship. And I think for homeschoolers, it's a very natural way to just move from the, you know, primary education and the secondary education and into life. It's just natural. That's the way we do things, I think. You know, when you look at, you know, a young man who maybe has an interest in, oh, animals, for example, and he thinks maybe I'd like to be a veterinarian, and there happens to be, you know, the next door neighbor or someone in the church who is a veterinarian. You know, he can come into a relationship with that person very early on in his life and begin to explore what that looks like. And you're able to do that in the homeschooling situation, whereas in a public school or a private school situation, obviously you can't really do that, because in homeschooling you've got the flexibility to take the time and craft that into the schedule of the child or of the family to allow for that.
What do you think the benefit of these mentorships and apprenticeships will be here for the next generation or two, Mike?
Well, I think a couple of things. One, I think that as more homeschooled students go into mentorships and apprenticeships and see that as a viable alternative to going into college, you're going to find that a lot more homeschoolers are going to have a lot less debt.
Yeah.
Now, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh. You betcha. I mean, $50,000 of college debt and, you know, being 24, 25 years of age and, you know, effectively not quite being ready for life as it is for pretty much a weak way to start out in life. And that may be one of the reasons why a lot of young folks aren't getting married. They're not really establishing themselves until they're 30, 32, 34 years of age.
Well, I think you're right, and that is quite an anchor. And when you forget about the debt, there's lost earning potential too. I mean, if you think about the rule of money and how money works, how it compounds over time, that time between age 16 and age 25 is the most productive time for money. And if you're going to save and invest, that's the time to do it. But if you're in college, not working, you know, just going to class every day, you know, and then you get out of college, and then what do you get? An entry-level job. You know, and you know, maybe you'll make a decent amount of money or maybe not. But still, you've lost 5 or 6 really productive years where you could be saving and learning a skill and earning money at the same time. Now, certainly some people are called to college. There are certain professions that require college, whether it's being a doctor or a veterinarian or a lawyer, whatever. You know, some things you have to go to college for. But there are many, many careers that you don't have to go to college for. And that if you could start at age 14, 13, 15, whatever, learning that skill, you can be very accomplished at it by the time you're age 18 or 19, start your own business, or even go to work for someone else without having gone to college.
Now, Mike, we draw the distinction between the college track and the entrepreneur track, as you just did, and obviously both viable callings for those that are seeking God's calling for their lives. But what we'd like to say is that mentorship is appropriate for both tracks. You don't have to just, you know, be going down the entrepreneur track and looking at building houses and being a contractor and seeking an entrepreneurship or a mentorship in that context. But you could be a lawyer. You could be going into engineering school or architectural school and still be mentored. Do you think that is possible? And have you heard anecdotes of homeschoolers that went to college and yet were mentored at the same time?
Well, I think that's true, Kevin. I do think that mentorship, as you've described it, is applicable for people who want to go to college or who just want to, you know, start their own business early or go into a job earlier in life. And in fact, I would argue that perhaps having a mentoring relationship is even more important for the college-bound homeschooler, particularly someone who's spiritually mature, who's in a career field that can guide them and help them identify the courses that they may want to take, think about the different kinds of extracurricular activities that they ought to be involved with in order to enhance their development so that they can do what God's calling them to do. You know, the college environment is not always the most friendly environment for homeschoolers.
Yeah.
And having someone who can be there for an accountability purpose to guide that individual and answer the questions that they have about the kinds of skills they need to be developing, I think could be very important in that kind of a situation.
Do you have an age in the back of your mind that you would consider appropriate for beginning some form of mentorship?
Well, the youngest we had in the research that I did was age 7.
Wow. Okay.
So I don't know. I think, you know, and that was a young girl who was working with her mom doing seamstress types of things.
Right.
You know, if you've got a family business, you already have the opportunity to begin mentoring and exposing your children to those kinds of things to see if God may be calling them to that. And if you don't, then probably by the time they're at a point where they're mature enough to be able to relate with someone, in a relationship where they can be, you know, trusted not to kind of be silly and foolish, you know, where that childish foolishness is kind of more or less worked out of them, and they can work with someone else. And, you know, that is if it's going to be outside the family. If it's going to be inside the family, that's one thing. If it's outside the family, you kind of need them to have gone past that stage where they're able to, you know, be independent to a certain extent for a period of time, you know, 3 or 4 hours during the day, to go and actually contribute. Depending on the business. You know, if someone's willing to take them on and just kind of, I'll use the term babysit them, and that's not what I mean, but if they're willing to take on a little bit more parental responsibility and say at a horse stall and they're 11 years old and they need a little bit of supervision on a daily basis, that's great. But if it's sort of in a welding business, you really don't want to send a 11 or 12-year-old into a welding business all by themselves without some really good supervision. So you kind of have to use your judgment as a parent. You know, when is my child ready, and what kind of mentorship opportunity is appropriate for them?
And I think we have to be sensitive to the issue of relationships and some of the things that come to bear in that master-apprentice relationship. Your mentorship can be very close-knit in terms of the relationship. I know I've been mentoring a young man for the last 2 years. He comes, he lives with us for 3 days, he travels with me, he sits by my desk. We're alone together an awful lot of the time. And I think if that's the case, if mentorship is something beyond a co-op ed program where you, you know, sit at this machine, push this button, here's how to fill out your timesheet, I'll see you in 3 months. You know, if it's a more close-knit relationship, then, you know, Mike, I'm beginning to think that maybe it may not be appropriate to establish some of these male-female kind of mentor-apprentice relationships. It's probably better to stick to male-male, female-female in some of the circumstances.
Well, actually, I don't think there's any question about that, Kevin. I think that men have to be very careful in this situation. I've seen and heard of situations where it has gone very badly.
Yeah.
And, you know, we live in a fallen world, and we all have a sinful nature, and so we've got to be very careful about any appearance of impropriety. And so I think that, you know, men should not be mentoring girls or young women, and women should not be mentoring young men or boys.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and with all mentorships, I'm sure it's critical there's some level of trust that's already pre-established in that relationship.
Right, and that's not to say that, for example, you can't have now because you're talking about a mentorship as a very close knit relationship.
Yeah.
And I'll distinguish what you're talking about as a mentorship from an apprenticeship.
Okay, sure.
You can have, I think, a male chef apprenticing a young woman who wants to learn how to be a chef.
Yeah.
Okay, but again, you put your finger on some important dynamics, and that's got to be considered in the equation that there is this possibility, and so both people have to be very careful. Because in our homeschool court report, we have Brittany Hamby, who is an apprentice with the West Pace Hotel Group, and she apprentices with Chef Peter.
Right.
And you know, but they're not in that kind of a mentoring relationship that you're talking about.
Mm. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about how to find that master with whom your child might work. Is there some tips you can give some folks out there who may be looking for a good opportunity for their young person?
Well, sure. I think again, look to your church community.
Okay.
Look in your family. Do you have any family businesses? Maybe you may not, but your brother or sister may have a business. You want to consider friends, again, people who you trust, and depending on the age of your child, you need to, consider that. What kind of a relationship is it going to be? How close is it going to be? And so if it's going to be that kind of a close relationship, perhaps that, like you have with your mentor, with your mentoree, Kevin, then you may want to be very careful about the kind of person that you select. So looking for somebody who has a similar faith. Who's in your family, look at those kinds of relationships to find opportunities for your children to explore where they feel God may be calling them.
You know, Mike, as we talk about this, I'm thinking this could be a Copernican revolution in the area of education and economics at the same time. I'm wondering if we're crossing the bridge between homeschooling and the revolution in education that's occurring right now across America and economics. Could this revolutionize the way we do economics?
Well, that's exciting to think about, and I'd like to think that it could. You know, when you think about thousands and thousands or hundreds of thousands of homeschoolers who are looking at life not just as kind of like, okay, now what do I do? But looking at life through the lens of where God has called them and are not taking on the kind of debt by going to college necessarily or are starting their own businesses earlier and exploring that, I think that there's a possibility that, at least in the homeschool movement, they're going to be people who are doing very well.
And hopefully our young folks will be certain with their calling, well-trained, well-prepared to take off on the calling that God has given to them. And hopefully they will be some of the best at taking dominion in the particular area to which God has called them. And that, of course, is the prayer, I think, of every parent out there. Hey, Mike, thank you so much for joining us. You know, I'm going to direct folks to hslda.org, to your excellent article in the HSLDA Court Report. Again, that's hslda.org. If you don't get the report, it is posted at hslda.org. Mike, thanks again for joining us on Generations. We appreciate your input.
Kevin, it's been a blessing talking with you, and I pray that God will bless you and your audience.
And folks, remember, the reason this movement is happening in home education, mentorship, entrepreneurship is because we're starting to bring God's principles of education to bear in the area of education. And I have summarized those principles, the principles of individuality, life integration, character, relationships, key in education. This is what constitutes what we're talking about when we express the homeschool vision and mentorship on this program. And I put these into my book, Upgrade, the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. I would encourage you to have that resource. Again, Upgrade, the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child, available at our office. Just call 1-877-842-CHECK for your copy of Upgrade. Again, that's 877-842-CHECK, or just go to my website, kevinswanson.com, and click on Upgrade. You have been listening to Generations, my friends. You can pick it up anywhere, anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. You can pick it up anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.